You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Thank you, Verb. So great to be here. I haven't been to Toronto for a while, and so it's really nice to come back and to see your new home. I really like it a lot. Bert has just been a great friend, Bert and Sheila, as you've heard, for so many years, and it's great to have friends like that, where you just know each other really, really well, have gone through the ups and downs of life, and still like each other. And so that's always great. I thought before we jump into the sermon today, I'd like to introduce you to my family. And so there's a whack of us. That's my wife in the middle beside me there. We've been married for 32 years, which is a long time. And she still puts up with me. We have my oldest son, the bald guy here. He serves with me at our church. And so he's just great. He's still single. And I made a joke one time that, you know, I'll take phone numbers. And somebody gave me their phone number. And it's like, no, it's a joke. Don't do that. It's weird. Anyways, so he's just a great guy. I love him dearly. And then we have our adopted son, the guy with the long hair in the back. Right now, he's also bald. He just goes back and forth. I can never keep track. But that's Toby. He's our snowboarding dude. And if he says hi to you, he'll go, yo. Like he's on drugs or something, but he's not. He works at a skateboard place, snowboard place. And then Jessica is right beside me. I should actually point out Tyler. He's the blonde kid in the back. He's in second year university. He wants to go on to be a pastor. Just a really great kid. And then Jessica, she was in first year. And she decided she doesn't want to do that. She wants to do something else. So she's trying to figure that out. And then about 8 or 9 years ago, we were reaching out to a family in our local school. And to an alcoholic mom, and the government took away her kids. And so she phoned us one day and said, would you please take my 4 boys? So we thought it's going to be for a few months. It turned out it's been about 8 or 9 years now. And this is Noah. He's kind of second in from the right. He's the oldest. And then Isaac. Noah's in first year university. Then Isaac is in grade 11. And then Jameel over here with the light blue shirt. He's 13 years old. And then little Jonah, call my little buddy. He's 9 years old. They're just great kids. Their mom is Honduran. Amazing. And then Naomi, who's in the yellow dress, she's been Jessica's best friend since grade 1. And she's their cousin. And she just started living with us. I'm not really sure how it happened. But she is. And she's just great. And then Eunice, their older sister, also came to live with us a few years ago. And so she calls us mom and dad too. So if you guys are lonely and you need a mom and dad, we got room. So just no problem. It's all good. But this is our family. Actually, their cousin, also Naomi's sister, is also living with us now. It just never ends. But we're happy about that. We really are a happy family. It has lots of struggles and lots of joys. So I get to today continue this series on Let's Talk, talking about mental health issues. This is a fantastic thing for a church community to talk about. We, at various levels, we all go through mental struggles in our life. And it's important that we have the opportunity to talk about these things openly and from a biblical perspective. Today, I'm going to be looking at the topic of isolation and loneliness. Mother Teresa says, the most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved. I don't know of anything more desperate than the idea of isolation and not being loved. And when we look at particularly urban centers, it becomes more and more of an issue. So what we want to do today is look at what is loneliness and how do we kind of deal with this and move forward. And I want to talk about 3 dimensions to loneliness. So we've got 3 points. That makes it a good sermon. If you've ever been in church, Got to have 3 points. We're going to look at three dimensions to loneliness. And so point number one is when we think of loneliness, I think the first thing that we typically think of is point one, which is social isolation, where we just don't have enough friends. We don't know enough people. That would be the first kind of dimension of what loneliness is. And here's the issue, is that that kind of loneliness is literally killing us. It is more physically damaging. Get this. It's more physically damaging than smoking, high blood pressure, or obesity. Two times as life-threatening as obesity. The elderly who are lonely are twice as likely to die prematurely. In loneliness, this social isolation is linked to an increase in arthritis, diabetes, sleep deprivation, substance abuse, depression, heart disease, and suicide. This is a big deal. It's not just that I have a few sad feelings. It's a big deal. And they're understanding more and more the implications of what loneliness does to us physically as well as emotionally. And what's worse is this epidemic. 66% of Canadian university students said they were very lonely in the past year. So lots of you are university students. We'll count you off. Two-thirds of you would consider yourself at some point in this last year to have been very lonely. I'm from Vancouver. Sorry. I think we're in competition with you. I don't know. It feels that way sometimes, but you win for being the, what is it? You guys are the economic center of the country. But in Vancouver, studies say that its loneliness is a greater problem than poverty or homelessness. It's a big deal. One-third of Vancouverites would say that it's hard for them to make friends, and 22% would say that they're officially lonely. It's a very big deal. And the more and more that a city becomes urban, and the closer that people live together, the worse it gets. Even when we look at marriage, the marital problem, just to give you a heads up if you're young, something to look forward to, the marital problem is emotional disconnection. That people can be physically intimate and not how to know how to be emotionally connected. So, loneliness then is described as the greatest tragedy of the developed world. And studies say that somewhere between 20 to 40% of the developed world would consider themselves to be officially lonely. Now, the good news is that God knows our need for community. It's how he made us. It's interesting, in Genesis 2:17, it says that here you have Adam, the first human, being in perfect relationship with God. Perfect relationship. There's no sin. There's no emotional disconnection. And God looks at Adam and says, it's not good for you to be alone. And so he makes a counterpart to Adam, Eve. So God knows that, get this, that even somehow our relationship with God wouldn't be enough for our relational needs. And he created a partner for Adam. It goes on to say in Psalm 68:6 that God puts the lonely in families, that God understands our need for social connection and created spiritual family, the church, in order to answer that need. Research says that for you to stay in church, you know, some people think that they come to church for Jesus. That's good. I hope that we do. But research says that you will stay in this church or any church if you have 5 to 7 meaningful relationships. So I don't know how you're doing, but that's what they say. I mean, it doesn't have to be true for you. But typically, that's what's true, that we actually need connection with other human beings in order to experience relational satisfaction. So that's the first level of loneliness. And so I think what we all can think of probably when we think of what loneliness is, and that it's social isolation. But there's a deeper level of loneliness that is actually more debilitating, and it's called emotional disconnection. Now, what this is I've experienced this often, where it's the kind of idea where you feel lonely even though you're in a crowded room. You might be around family, you might be around close friends, But there's something inside of you where you feel emotionally disconnected from the people around you. And this is more serious. English actor Stephen Fry wrote after an attempted suicide, listen to this, it'll be on the screen. "Lonely, I get invitation cards to the post," this is an Englishman, "to the post almost every day. I shall be in the Royal Box at Wimbledon, and I have serious and generous offers from friends asking me to join them in the south of France, Italy, Sicily, South Africa, British Columbia, not Ontario, in America this summer." Just had to say it. I just had to say that. I have 2 months to start a book before I go off to Broadway for a run of Twelfth Night. In the end, loneliness, listen to this, is the most terrible and contradictory of my problems. The front man of the band Queen, if you know that band, Freddie Mercury, here's what he says. "Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it has prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship." It's a big deal. Now, why do we get to that place of emotional disconnection? What happens? Well, I think it goes in three stages. The first stage is we get hurt. There's not a person in this room that has not been hurt by relationships. And so something happens, we get misunderstood, worse yet, we get betrayed, and something happens in our heart that says, you know what? I don't know that I can trust. I desperately need, inside of my soul, I desperately need connection, but this is risky business. And so what we do in step number two is we self-protect. And we say, yeah, I'm going to have some friends. Yeah, I'm going to try to be sociable. But I'm going to just have a bit of emotional distance between me and the other people around me. And so we self-protect from getting hurt again. But here's the problem with our methods of self-protection. The filter or the grid that we use to shield ourselves from getting emotionally hurt also prevents us from being able to receive love or give love to others. And so the very thing that we think will keep us safe actually puts us in a worse state than where we're farther removed from others and more emotionally disconnected. And so that cycle goes. We get hurt, we self-protect, we give and receive love less, and on it goes. The issue that we are discovering in society today is we struggle to have struggles. We don't know how to work through relational pain. Society is becoming worse and worse at this. One study says that we're twice as emotionally disconnected as people were in the 1980s. It's getting worse. And things like social media really aren't helping. Social media is both a depressant, because the only thing you ever post on social media is when you're doing well, unless you're weird, and then we'll unfriend you. This mostly what we see on social media is everybody super happy, eating really great food in an outstanding backdrop, and it's just their regular life. You know, yeah, right. But that's how we present ourselves, right? And so we look at that and we go, oh, you know, my life isn't that great. I'll pretend it is, but it isn't. And then social media also really is an avoidant. I think even of texting. I'll say to one of my kids, I'll say, hey, can you just, can you give somebody a call? And they go, no, I'm going to text. I go, why don't you, talk to them? And they go, I don't want to talk to them. And I say, why wouldn't you want to talk to your friend? Well, if I text, I can choose every word I say, and I make sure that it's the right thing that I want to say. If I talk to them, I might say something stupid. You know, that's just incredible to me. You can't talk anymore to your friends. You send them pictures and texts. That's excellent. It's no wonder you feel emotionally disconnected. That we don't know how to work through difficulties with one another. And so either we're doing fine, or we just check out. Lots of people in our church are from China. And you know the one-child policy. And so for the longest time, when we had people come from mainland China, they become part of our church, they come to Christ, and something difficult would happen. They would have a falling out with a friend, or a misunderstanding, or say something stupid, or somebody hurt them. And they wouldn't see them for 3 to 6 months. They're just gone. And wouldn't even answer texts. And then they'd come back 3 to 6 months later, and they go, "I'm back." And what the hope was is that you would forget everything, and we could just be happy and start over again. And then that would keep happening over and over and over again. They would get hurt, go away for 3 to 6 months, "I'm back." And it just happened for like a super long time, because in that, they had no siblings. They had no experience of how to be hurt, not self-protect, work that through, and still be able to give and receive love. This is emotional disconnection, and this is horrific. Not just for our own lives, but for how we will raise up the next generation. So what's the answer to this? Well, it's this third dimension of loneliness. If we trace social isolation and emotional disconnection to their source, what I would suggest to you today is that at the root of loneliness is what we're calling spiritual separation. Spiritual separation. There is an order to relationships. Let me explain it this way. There's something really popular right now if you're a parent, and it's called attachment parenting. And the idea is that in kind of older generations of parenting, what you would typically do is you would correct a child's behavior, and you would just try to get them to behave better. What they're understanding is that a better thing to do is to, instead of correct the behavior, improve the relationship. And as you improve the relationship with your child, they'll act out less. It's a great idea, and it's a great model for parenting. Now, what they've understood is that people who are emotionally disconnected or emotionally detached from their parents will then bond to their peer group. Now, the problem with that is when that is your primary attachment or your primary connection, those people are too immature to handle that level of intimacy and care for your soul. They're just immature. So they're going to say stupid things, be hurtful. And so the place that you have a primary attachment is an unhealthy place. You learn how to self-protect in that place and become emotionally immature. It's not good. And so what they've discovered is that in order for you to have, this is an order of relationships, in order for you to have a healthy relationship with your peers, you first need to have a healthy relationship with your parents. And if you don't figure that out, you'll always misuse and have inappropriate and unhealthy expectations of your peer group because the relationships are out of order. Now, follow that to its logical conclusion. And what if our disconnection with God will manifest itself in unhealthy connections between each other? That if we don't know how to be rightly connected with God, there'll be something that goes on between you and I that won't ever be the way that it needs to be. And so what we find, which is super sad in modern psychology, is incredibly great help for relationships between people, ignoring the spiritual dimension. And it's never quite what we hope it would be. I remember growing up, and there was just, I didn't know about psychology. I didn't know about I statements and reflective listening and all the things that we learn. And, when you do this, I feel this. And wow, I hear you. And then I'll reflect back what that is and tell me more about. I didn't know about any of that. And so why is it that we have a society that is more and more equipped to have meaningful human relationships, yet we're more lonely and isolated than we've ever been? And I suggest to you that the reason why is our relationships are out of order, that we've ignored the spiritual dynamic of God being a living God who wants an intimate relationship with us. And only when that relationship is prioritized are we then able to have healthy relationships with one another. What this explains then is that the number one source of relational hurt is unrealistic or unmet expectations. There's a saying that says that expectations are premeditated resentments. And I do lots of talking on college campuses, actually. The name of my seminar is really awkward. It's Love, Sex, and Relationship with Dr. Greg Mitchell. We got to change the with. It was a guy who was helping people find their room once. And he says, excuse me, are you looking for love, sex, and relationships? That was also an awkward moment. It was not a pickup line. It was a lecture. But anyways, I talk a lot about dating. And the number one problem in dating is unrealistic expectations. And it's simply this: be God for me. Meet all that I need in my soul. And good luck with that. Women, if you're expecting a guy to do that, I'm a guy. Sorry, just for all of us. We're just not going to pull that off. It's unrealistic. Men, it's unrealistic to expect a woman to meet all of your relational needs. The biblical word for that is idolatry. It's not going to happen. Here's the irony. The irony is you lower your expectations of the opposite sex and you get happier. As I told you, Debbie and I have been married for 32 years. And Debbie looks at me and says, God bless you, you're trying. You know, God bless you. I mean, if she puts her mind to it, she can come up with a good 50 things that I should be working on, and she can rattle them off very quickly. I'll tell you that right now. But you know what keeps us together is we have realistic expectations of one another. And I'm not expecting her to be my God. And she's not expecting that of me. And so what if social isolation and emotional disconnection actually are designed to point beyond themselves to our spiritual separation? What if that's what's going on? What if the way that we would deal with our isolation and our disconnection is to say that maybe those are signs, not that I should be first working on my human relationships, but maybe that's a sign that there's something in my soul that is still unmet, and I'm putting unrealistic expectations on the people around me, and it's no wonder I'm not happy. It's no wonder that I isolate. And as I would order my relationships, as I would first focus on my relationship with God, my human relationships would find their rightful place in my heart, and then I would be grateful for those relationships and no longer hurt as much or disconnected as much. Ironically, right expectations, or let's put it this way, lower expectations, lead to relational satisfaction, otherwise known as gratitude. Here's the good news. God is not a cosmic force or a distant deity. He is a loving Father who desires intimacy with us. Let me read his invitation to us, and it's in Revelation 3:20. It says this: Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Now, I don't know if you know this, but most cultures know this, that relationship begins with food. And here you have the living God saying, can I have dinner with you? Can I have lunch with you? That's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. My father got multiple sclerosis. He was diagnosed with it when I was about 6 years old. He died when I was in grade 11. And I remember the government would send me checks every month. It was like for $30 or something. It wasn't a lot of money. But at the top of the check, it said orphans benefit check. Now, I had a mother, so I didn't consider myself to be an orphan. But in the government's eyes, at least back then, I was an orphan. Let me tell you the primary reason why I'm a Christian. It's because I needed an intimate, meaningful relationship with my Heavenly Father. I miss having an earthly father. I still do. I'm older now. I still wish I had a dad. I really do. I haven't thought, stopped thinking about that. But that emotional longing pointed beyond itself to my need for a Heavenly Father. Now, I miss my father, my earthly father, but can I tell you that in some strange way, I'm grateful for that loss because it revealed to me what my heart has truly longed for. And it's a life-giving, personal relationship with my Heavenly Father. The best part of my day is when I get to be alone with my dad. I read his word, I pray, and I sit in his presence. And I'm known by God. Now, if you've not experienced that, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, that is the center of my life. I have an amazing family, a very full house, and we just got another dog. I mean, it just keeps going. It never stops. I love all that. And I need to pull away from all that and be with my Father and be known by Him and know Him. That is my place of sanity. And from that place, I do not have to be relationally isolated or emotionally disconnected. I'm fulfilled. But I'm fulfilled because I know where it starts. And as that relationship is clarified, the other relationships find their rightful place in my life. God's love heals the root of loneliness, not just the symptoms. So we could have a lesson on loneliness, of how to make friends. Can I give you, I'll give you one, just kind of, okay, just one. I'll give you one hint on how to make friends. You ready? You'll love this. This is super helpful. Can I tell you who likes you? This is great. Write it down. Okay. This is who likes you. The person, whoever likes you, you know why they like you? Is because they think you like them. Isn't that great? So all you have to do to be liked is to like other people. It's great. So I meet new people and I think in my head. I'm a thinker, so everything is mechanical. My wife hates it, but I have no spontaneous ideas. So I go up to a new person and I go, "Do I like you?" And I go, "I think I will." And then as I decide to do that in my heart, they smile back. And they go, "I always liked that Greg. I don't know what it is. Why?" "Because he likes me." Isn't that great? So there you go. That was just a little hint. You can write that down. Works for me. So we can work on being nicer. But why don't we work on the root of our loneliness, which is cosmic, spiritual, personal, with the living God. And as He has that rightful place in our heart, our relational isolation will be deeply decreased. So let me ask you in closing, are people a channel or a replacement for the love of God? You have to ask yourself that question. When you look at other people, are they the source? Are they a replacement for God's love? Or are they one of the channels that He uses to extend His love to you? If people are a replacement or your source of love, I hate to break it to you, you will stay lonely for the rest of your life. Because there's not a human being good enough to satisfy the longings of your heart. But if they're a channel, now they can be thoroughly enjoyed. You have realistic expectations because you know at the end of the day where your heart's longings are truly met is in a relationship with your Heavenly Father. You doing okay with that? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank You so much that You made us relational beings. You're not interested in using us for Your purposes. You're not interested in showing Yourself mighty over us. That Your deepest longing is to have a meaningful, life-giving relationship with us, and from that place that we would enjoy spiritual family, that we would enjoy meaningful relationships around us. And Father, would You help clarify in our hearts today what the source of our connection is really to be about, and it's You. And I thank You that You're a God who longs to come close and to have dinner with us, to sit with us, to be known and to know. Father, for all the ways that that relationship with You is a difficulty, would You please reveal these things to us now, that we could know how to draw near to You. And from that place of connection with You, would You please bless the relationships that we have around us. And would we receive them with gratitude as being extensions of Your love. Thank You, dear Father, in Your Son's name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.